for those mountains. I'll bring her horse, she snorted. You'll bring a Mustang with you to every place you shoot, she chided me softly. It would be traumatic for the horse and the girl, and you know it. What do you want me to do, Gail? I clipped out. I want you to go to Montana. I want you to find her, be with her. I want you to love her because you already do. And when you're done with Unbroke, I want you to get on that plane for New Zealand, and I want you to forget her. Forget her. Forget someone I loved, but I hadn't said the words to her. I'd been apart from her and had been aching every minute of the day because she wasn't by my side. That's easy, I murmured back. She looked relieved. It's just like losing Kyle all over again, only worse. She tensed, her eyes closing. She's in me already, Gail. I forget her, and that means I rip a part of myself out when I go. I scanned my room. I was mostly packed. Grabbing the last of my things, I put them in the bag, slung it over my shoulder, and then grabbed a baseball hat and sunglasses. It wasn't a great camouflage, but I'd be in first class, so I just had to make it through the airport. You'll send the rest of my stuff? What I'll need for the movie? She nodded, her head hanging low. Yeah, I will. She had a key to my home. She used it when I wasn't there, and I did trust her, but I placed my hand on her shoulder when the doorbell rang again. That was the driver. I squeezed her shoulder lightly. I came back to L.A. to find peace about Kyle's death. I met with Cheryl, and I did that. I stayed because I knew you needed me here for all of the meetings. But those were done. I bent and brushed a kiss to her cheek. I'll see you in a week. She grabbed for my hand on her shoulder and squeezed it back. I was there for you after Kyle. I'll be there for you after... She cleared her throat. After you finish shooting Unbroke. I put on my hat, pulled it low, and then put on the sunglasses. I had one bag and was wearing jeans that were ripped at the knees and a t-shirt. I had my wallet, my phone, and my keys. If Morgan could live in the woods for weeks with almost nothing, I could fly over a few states with the same. I flashed Gail a grin. I know you will. I caught her hand once more and then went to open the door. I left Gail in the house because I trusted her. She was still one of my people. The driver was there, the same one I always used. He took my bag from me as we went to the car. Thank you, Conlon. He nodded to me, and I got into the car.
Chapter 41. Morgan. I was returning from seeing Shiloh and riding with the herd, and had decided to take a detour through the now empty barn. They had sent the horses back to their original ranch once the movie crew left, but I still enjoyed walking through it versus going through the normal gate. I was reaching to open the barn door when I heard cars approaching. Finn always wanted me to stay hidden when people arrived. He checked them out first. So when the door was open just enough for me to slip through, I did, and shut it quickly behind me. I remained in the barn, following his wishes, and waiting for whoever it was to leave once they realized no one was home. Minutes ticked by slowly, and eventually I heard Matthew's voice, which drove me deeper into the shadows.
I thought Finley and Abigail were still here.
I shrank farther back. That was Peter as well.
No, they're in town for a meeting with a few other developers I had flown in. They think they're going to start looking for new projects in the area. Well, you never know. They might be. True.
They laughed together, drawing closer to the barn.
Are you sure Morgan isn't here? Are you serious? Morgan's always out there with the herd, I promise.
I tried to make out if there were any others with them, but there were only two sets of footsteps. They went to the gate, and I waited to see if they would free the latch.
So, this was your brainchild. The movie people are coming back. Are you ready to pull the trigger?
Matthew laughed uneasily.
There was a problem with the initial paperwork Morgan signed. What?
Peter sounded angry and harsh.
It'll be fine, I promise. I'll get her to sign another. I'll just say it's paperwork to allow the movie to finish filming here. It'll be like an addendum or something. She'll have no idea. What if she doesn't sign? She will. What if she sees it as a way to keep the movie from happening? Her lover boy was adamant about that. I talked to Finn. Asher hasn't been in contact with Morgan, and we know he's been in Los Angeles, lining up his next projects. We're good, and Morgan will sign. I'll tell her that she has to, or her lover won't be coming back. You underestimate her. No. Matthew's reproach was swift and firm. You underestimated Karen. I didn't know she would put in that clause. The land and inheritance should have gone to me. You're the one who sent him. He was supposed to take the kid with him. He wanted Morgan.
Peter's tone was hard.
I never told him to kill Karen. I'd have time to get her to put me in the will, not leave everything to her kid.
I sucked in my breath. My heart was beating too fast. No, I wasn't hearing this.
I would never want my own wife dead.
I heard car tires on the drive, and I wanted to see who was coming home. It could be Matt or Finley, maybe even Abby.
But you were okay with him taking Morgan?
Matthew's voice broke. There was silence. Then a quiet.
You're still hung up on the girl. She's a freak of nature, Matthew. Let her go. She'll move on. She'll be fine.
My mother knelt before me. She held a finger to her mouth and whispered as tears fell down her face. We're going to play hide-and-go-seek, okay? Okay, Morgan?
She'll have no home. You want to sell this land out from underneath her? You're in this too, pup. Don't stand there all self-righteous. The movie was your goddamn brainchild. Slip an extra piece of paper in with her contract so she thinks she's signing her approval for the movie when she's really signing away her rights to the land.
Someone was knocking on the door. This person was knocking harder and harder on the door. They began yelling. It wasn't Matt, or Finley, or Abby. More silence. Then a more subdued Matthew said,
Let's just take the specs we came to get and go. Fine with me.
Peter paused a beat.
She will be fine, Matthew. You can take care of her if the actor doesn't. She's a survivor.
I love you so much, Morgan. So much. My mother ran her hands down my head, smoothing my hair and pulling me close to press a kiss to my forehead. You're such a good hider. I know you can hide for days if you needed to, right? You can hide so good that it would take me days to find you. I nodded. She knew I was good at that. I'd just go with the horses. Shoal would take care of me. She always did. Okay, Morgan? I need you to hide like that. The man was kicking at the door. I began to shake, my hands trembling. I didn't want to go. Go, honey, go. She stood and went to the door. I didn't dare move. I feared a piece of straw would crinkle under my foot and they would know I was there. They would know I knew their plan. Peter sent the monster. My legs were shaking, my arms were trembling. And Matthew, he plotted to take my home from me, my home. It had always been mine. I might not use it as often as a normal person would, but it was mine. I heard the thundering of hooves in the distance. The herd was stampeding. Shiloh would be with them. I looked out the barn window, but I couldn't see them. I could only hear them.
Damn horses,
Peter cursed.
They were a plague back then and still are. They'll get shoved off the land. Where will they go? Do you really care? Where they go, she goes. They'll probably be shot if people are smart.
Peter laughed crudely to himself.
The national park isn't too far for them to travel. Maybe they'll go there. The rangers can deal with the herd.
Tears welled in my eyes and lingered on my eyelashes. They pooled there, growing larger.
I care about Morgan. I don't want you here when I handle all of this and she finds out.
Peter grunted, cursing again.
You're wasting your time on the girl. She's as much a Mustang as those four-legged fucks out there. Let go of your idea of this cozy family. It'll never happen.
I waited to hear Matthew's response, but it didn't come. They left after that. I heard them walking around the land, taking their specs, whatever that meant. When they came into the barn, I moved to the apartment above. As they were leaving the property 2 hours later, I went to stand in the driveway. If either of them turned, they would see me. But they just climbed back into their car and drove away. I just watched their taillights fade into the distance. Run and hide. That was what Peter expected me to do. Hide, Morgan, hide, I heard my mother's whisper. I lifted my chin in defiance. Not this time, Mom. Chapter 42. Morgan. I was on Matthew's new computer when Finn and Abby returned. They came in, talking like normal. It was an hour before they noticed the light was on in Matthew's office.
Holy shit! Abby screamed.
What?
Finn came running. But Abby was frozen in the doorway just staring at me.
What?
Finn asked again, sounding cross as he stopped behind her. Both gaped at me, blinking like shocked owls.
What?
Finn raked a hand through his hair, coming inside.
Morgan?
I smiled at them over the computer screen.
What?
How do you guys think I got my college degree? I snorted. You didn't think I actually went to the college, did you? Abby closed her mouth and sank into one of the chairs across from me.
I forgot.
Me too.
Then Finn narrowed his eyes.
What are you doing?
Sending people emails and printing out the contract Matthew had me sign before. I pushed print and waited till the document was done. I pushed it across the desk toward Finn. According to a conversation I overheard between Matthew and your father, they tried to trick me. Matthew said there was something wrong with the original paperwork, and he was going to try to get me to sign something again. I leaned back in my chair. They want to sell my lands.
What?
Abby jerked forward. Finn cursed under his breath. He reached for the contract and began reading it. Once he was done, he handed it to his sister.
There's nothing in there about you giving anyone power to sell the lands. There's only one clause that states the movie has to be filmed on the property, but that's it.
I nodded.
I know.
I didn't read what I signed, and I think he snuck in an extra piece of paper knowing I didn't know.
There was no piece of paper.
Matthew was standing in the doorway. His torn eyes held mine before he pinched at his forehead as if combating a headache.
You weren't supposed to hear us. You weren't supposed to hear any of that.
Abby jerked out of her chair, Finn did too, his hands in the air.
You should leave, brother.
I didn't think that was a good idea. Matthew had answers. I wanted them, and for once, I wasn't leaving until I got them. He owed me that much. Matthew only gave Finn a scornful look, his lips pressing together a moment before he straightened from the doorframe. He had his suit jacket thrown over one shoulder, but as he moved, he pulled it forward and folded it over one of his arms.
You're all right. I should leave. But you don't know the truth. Any of it.
He produced a folder of papers and tossed it on the desk in front of me. He pointed at them, walking toward the windows, but he only turned his back to the window. He faced us.
Those were the papers I was going to ask you to sign, Morgan.
I didn't hesitate. I grabbed them and thrust my arm toward Finn.
Lighter.
He handed it over, glaring at Matthew the whole time. I had the papers on fire within a few seconds, and I walked around the desk, taking them into the bathroom. I held the file as long as I could before letting them fall into the toilet. The fire was immediately snuffed out. A column of white smoke filled the room and I went back to the office. The smoke was drifting in there as well. I met Matthew's gaze.
You have my answer.
He was watching me, and I swore I saw a fleeting grin tug at the corner of his mouth. He nodded before asking,
Did you have fun hanging out in the barn earlier?
You knew. He gestured to Finn.
When your boy toy had Finn take all the cameras down, they missed some. I still have two up. The entrance and exit of the barn.
But my mind was racing. Abby and Finn didn't know what else was said at that meeting. They didn't know most of it. Matthew sighed, pointing to the bathroom.
I never snuck in an extra piece of paper where you would have signed your rights away to the land. He thinks I did because that is what he wants.
He gestured to the bathroom.
You just set fire to the movie crew's amended contract for when they come back to finish filming the movie.
Oh. Abby cocked her head to the side. Didn't see that coming. Finn winced.
What are you saying? Dad thinks the movie's a ploy. A way to showcase our land to a very select clientele that would want to buy it. He doesn't want any general buyer. He wants the best buyer he can get.
Matthew looked at me.
I found a recording at the main office in New York.
His eyes grew hooded, but I caught a flash of sympathy.
I know what he did.
So did I.
I know what happened that day.
I looked down. No one knew. Matthew continued.
He doesn't know I know about the recording. But then he started pitching plans on how to sell the land to the best buyer.
His voice broke into a whisper.
I couldn't let him hurt you again.
Say what? I looked up. Finn was skirting between Matthew and me and his eyebrows arched high.
What is going on here? I'm not following any of this.
Matthew paid him no attention.
The movie idea was mine. I told him it'd get the land publicity that we couldn't buy and that we could trick you into signing papers that you'd never question. I told him I could get you to sign your home away.
His voice grew thick again.
I'm sorry, Morgan. For everything.
He reached inside his suit jacket and pulled out a small device. He tossed it onto the desk. Finn gripped the back of his neck.
What the hell is that? A listening device.
Matthew regarded his brother for the first time.
I've been working with the FBI to help build a case against our father.
Abby could only gape at the device. I'm not understanding any of this, Matt. Her bottom lip started trembling. What is going on? I stood. It was my turn. Your father sent my father here. And I waited. Silence. No one moved, no one made a sound. And then, what? From Abby.
Hide, Morgan, hide.
I stood taller. She died because of me. Your father wanted me gone. I ran toward the barn. Run, hide, I was doing both. I could feel my own tears falling. I was so scared, but I did what she said. Under the fence, I kept going, down the hill, through the fields.
Morgan!
I was in the house when he came. I couldn't tell them how I thought it had been them at first, how happy I had been. She knew it was my father. He was pounding at the door, and she told me we were going to play a game.
Oh my God.
Abby stumbled backward, but Finn caught her. He turned her into his chest, his arm coming around her. I could hear her crying, and a part of me was thankful. I should be the one crying, but I couldn't. I turned off like I always did. There were no tears. Not for me, anyway. Our house was high on the mountain. I was over the first slope in the hill, but no. I got back up and looked behind me. He could follow my footsteps. Mama? I wanted to go back, but she said to hide. I had to get to Shoal. He wouldn't be able to find me if I were with her. I kept going as fast as I could. Under the next fence, and then I was free into the terrain. There were woods, the river. I kept going and going. I was getting so cold. She said to hide for days. I'd need Shoal.
Morgan!
I couldn't form words. It took a moment for me to choke out. I could hear her screaming. But then he started screaming. He came after me. The room was completely silent, only breaking up for Abby's crying. The back of my neck started tingling. I didn't understand it, but I looked anyway. There was no sound, no movement to announce his presence, but I felt him anyway. And standing in the doorway like Matthew had been moments earlier was Brody. My eyes met his, and he said it for me.
Her mom told her to run. She never stopped.
I wanted to go to him. I wanted to wrap my arms around him, tell him everything that happened, and let Brody fight for me. But I had made a promise. I was staying. If I went to him and let him touch me, I'd crumble. I had to hold firm for now. Finn sighed in relief, getting up and shaking Brody's hand.
Perfect timing, buddy.
Brody nodded. Abby went to him, giving him a hug. But Brody was back to looking at me. He saw my torment. He nodded just slightly and then focused on Matthew. The two stared at each other. Both clenched their jaws. Matthew narrowed his eyes.
This is a family meeting?
Brody smirked.
I think I have more reason to be here than you do.
He stays. Matthew swung his head to mine. He wanted to challenge me, but I stared him down. When his chest rose and fell, I knew I won. I murmured. I shared. Now you share. Tell us everything. Abby asked. You said you've been working with the FBI? He pointed to Finn.
I took that recording to the cops, but they wanted more. So I told them I would get it. And in all our meetings, he never once said what really happened back then. We talked about the movie, about tricking Morgan. And he made a lot of statements about how Karen wasn't supposed to bequeath her land and money to Morgan. He was her husband, so he was supposed to inherit it. He was angry about that. But he never confessed that he was the one who sent Morgan's father to the house.
He looked at his brother.
Because you forgot to take those two cameras down, we have what we need on tape.
Abby gasped, jumping to her feet.
You have video of him talking about it?
Matthew jerked his head in an abrupt nod.
Yes,
he rasped out.
The police already have a copy.
My knees gave out. I almost fell back onto the desk chair.
You turned Dad in?
Matthew nodded at Finn, smiling.
I'm sorry for not looping you in. He may be a bastard, but he's still your father.
That came from Brody. Matthew looked up and the two shared a look. Whatever passed between them had Matthew's shoulders rolling back. His voice was a bit clearer than before when he continued.
They're arresting him right now. I came to tell you before it's all over the news. Fuck.
Brody shook his head.
Shanna must be shitting herself in gold right now. Yeah, well.
Matthew cleared his throat, lines of pain forming around his mouth and eyes. He tugged at his collar.
I actually can shut down the movie.
He looked at me.
If you want. There's a clause in the contract, but I want you to make the decision. I don't think anyone has the right to make it for you.
There was no question. I want it made. For her.
Chapter 43. Brody. I held Morgan that whole night through. There'd been no words I could use to express how I felt when I walked down that hallway and heard what they were talking about. It was perfect timing in some ways, but my arms had been itching to take her, hold her, and carry her away. Once Matthew, Finn, and Abby left the room, Morgan leapt at me at the same time I was going to her. Her arms and legs wrapped around me, and it was all the permission I needed to carry her from the house and down to my cabin. When I realized she'd been sleeping in my bed, a wave of tenderness filled me. But again, there'd been no words. I set her down, and our lips found each other's. I showed her how I felt that night, and she showed me. After only a few hours of sleep, the police were knocking on the door. They questioned Morgan, and once they were done, they assured us they had enough to press official charges against Peter Kellerman, who was already in custody. The gossip already swirling about Morgan and me went up a whole other level with Peter Kellerman's arrest. So, when the news broke, I wasn't surprised when ABC, CBS, and CNN picked up the story as well. We were all in the living room at the main lodge watching the press release when Gail called. Morgan was on my lap and looked down. She saw the name, and without saying a word, she shifted to the side so I could stand. She snuggled into where I'd been sitting as I crossed the room and went out to the patio, shutting the door behind me. Is it true? Hello to you too, Gail. It's true then. I sighed. Some days we didn't need to use actual words to communicate. When are you coming? Now, Shanna's with me. I looked back. Morgan was watching me, not the television screen. I'd have to use a car and pick them up or send someone. When? We're arriving in an hour. I barked out a laugh. That's the real reason you're calling. You'll pick us up? I'll be incognito and everything. She laughed from her side. How are you? She wasn't asking about me. She's strong, so I'm strong. You picked a good one, then. I heard her begrudging respect, and my smile grew. I nodded to myself. I know. See you in an hour. Morgan shut the television off when I came back. That was your manager? I nodded, saying to the whole room, She's arriving in an hour with Shanna. Matthew cursed but was smiling at the same time. She's coming to make sure the movie is still a go. Yeah. I glanced to Morgan and then Finn. I was going to go and pick them up. You have a car? I rented a motorcycle. I hadn't been able to help myself, so I asked, could I borrow a car? Abby laughed, the sound filling the entire room and hall. She stood and gestured to Finn. I think they'll go crazy if they see you, even if you wear a baseball cap and sunglasses. They'll still recognize you. Probably. They all saw my disguise yesterday. We'll go. She and Finn both started for the door. We'll get food and we're out of wine. We'll get some booze, too. Both Abby and Finn laughed. I warned, they'll want to stay here. Abby turned around at the door. She glanced to Morgan. Is that what you want? Morgan shook her head. It's Brody's call. They all waited for my decision. They'd want to stay here. I wanted them at the hotel. I sighed before saying, they should stay here. They'll be swarmed in the hotel lobby every time they leave, otherwise. Decision made. Abby followed her twin outside and waved over her shoulder. Be back in an hour and a half with two more if all goes accordingly. Once they were gone, the room became awkward. Matthew laughed to himself. And on that note, I have some business to take care of. He was halfway to his office when Morgan called to him. You'll kick him out? Matthew stopped. His shoulders tensed and he took a breath before he turned back around. His face was fully guarded as he nodded. Yes, I already have the board of directors working on removing him. He's been arrested. His position will be stripped from him. Morgan's head cocked to the side. Another item you've been planning. Her tone was knowing. I started planning this the day I found out what he'd done. Yes. You'll promote Finn and Abby? Matthew's eyes narrowed a bit, studying Morgan. I had already planned on it. His eyes flicked to me and then back to her. If you wish to come to the company, you could have a position there. Do you know who my grandfather was? I didn't know if it was the sudden jump in topic or the question itself that surprised Matthew more, but his eyes went wide as he shook his head. My mom never talked about him, but the money I have is from him. Morgan shifted on her feet. I've never looked for him. And you want to know now? Do I have other family? Do you know why she was estranged from her family? Matthew hesitated again. I could see his reluctance, but his head lifted again. Your grandfather died and left most of his estate to Karen, but not all of it. The rest of your family didn't like that she got the majority, and they fought her. They took her to court to try to get more of the inheritance, but they didn't win, and she left after that. I don't know all of it, but I did overhear her telling my father that she feared her family would come for you and also your money one day. She took up with your father because she thought he would protect her. She took up with my father to help protect against him. In some ways, it was a sad cycle. As he spoke, Morgan's head lowered a centimeter at a time. By the time he was done, she was fully looking at the floor. I stepped forward, my hand going to her shoulder. I drew her against my side. He added, I wish I could say they were people worth knowing, but if Karen was scared of them, I doubt they would be. I nodded to him. Thank you for telling her. Morgan didn't say anything. She turned and moved into me as I wrapped both my arms around her. As Matthew left, with some reluctance again, I just held her close to me as we walked back to my cabin. An hour later, I shifted to my back and pulled her against me. I skimmed a hand down her arm. You were hoping to find more of your family? She rolled her head to look at me as her free hand caught mine. She laced our fingers together, gently kissing my hand before resting them on her stomach. She settled more against me, getting comfortable. She murmured, almost too quiet for me to hear. I think I'd always hoped. I traced a hand down the side of her face, lingering over her cheek and lips before I skimmed down her knee and leg. She closed her eyes at the touch, as if it helped to steady her. It's a sobering thought to think you're completely alone. Creatures aren't meant to be alone. I sat up in bed and grinned at her. Creatures? Four-legged or two-legged? We aren't supposed to be on our own. She bit down on her lip. I think I might look for my mother's family and judge for myself if I should stay away. A strand of her hair fell forward, coming to a rest on her cheek. I lifted it, tucking it back in place, before moving to tug her lower free from between her teeth. How will you know if they're good people or not? They probably are not, but I have to see myself. I'll know. She grinned. I have horse instincts, remember? We can tell who are good and who are not. I grunted. That was true enough. I traced my finger over her face again, down her chin, resting in the cleft there before falling back to my side. I worry about you.
Why?
Because I care about you. It was more. We both still hadn't said the words. She smiled.
I'm fine. I've always been fine.
She laughed, poking me in the chest. It's you I worry about. You aren't fine, unlike me. I started to laugh and then thought about it. Shit, you're right. I slid my hand against hers, lacing our fingers again. You're more stable than I am. I couldn't help myself. She was an inch away, an inch too far. I tugged her onto my lap and she squealed until she straddled me. I was tired. I wasn't hard, but he would rise again. It wouldn't be long. I ran my hand down her back, around her ass, and cupped her there. I couldn't stop running my hands over her. I felt my dick stirring. It wouldn't be long at all. I rocked her over me, and she let out a full-body sigh, tipping backward. She let go of the sheet, but it didn't fall all the way. It fell open, letting me see her. I tugged it down, and then cupped one of her perfect breasts. I could watch as the sun bathed her through the window for hours. I felt her hair on my legs. Both her breasts free for me to touch, lick, taste. They were there for me to hold on to, every inch of her was. She was soft, but toned. I let go of her breast and ran a hand down her waist, rubbing over her stomach and then lower, lingering on her nub. She shuddered slightly, breathing heavier, as she always did when I touched her there. And while she remained like that, literally a buffet for me to touch and taste, I leaned forward and caught one of her nipples in my mouth. She surged alive, straightening and sliding her hands through my hair. She moved higher on my lap, and I held her tight to me, my teeth biting her gently. I licked around her breast, loving the taste of her, loving how I could almost touch her anywhere and she would gasp in pleasure.
Brody,
she said on another sigh. I let go of her breast, tipping my head back so her lips could find mine. I could die touching her like this. Her mouth on mine, her legs straddling me, my dick rising to her entrance. I caught her bottom lip with my teeth, and she gasped lightly and slid down onto me. I opened my eyes and looked up. She was gazing down at me, a look of wonder in them, and her hands found my face. Her thumb rubbed over my lip in a familiar gesture that I hadn't known how much I'd missed until right then. I felt her body tighten. Then that look of wonder melted into something more, something warm, something kind, something overwhelming. I felt it surge through me, and I wanted to say it first. I didn't know why, but I knew I had to. I leaned back so I could see her, making sure I had her full attention. I love you. At my words, that emotion was named. It was something loving in her, but her lips found mine. That was her response, and I couldn't do anything except savor the touch. I held her hips and began to move her up and down on me. She rolled them with me, riding me, but I wasn't content this way. I laid her down, my lips never moving from her, and I bracketed her between my arms, thrusting in slow, deep strokes. I rode her this time. Her legs lifted, her ankles hooking around my back, and I began to thrust harder and faster. I skimmed a hand down her side, rubbing against her breast as we kissed. I kept moving in her. She kept moving with me. We were synced. Maybe we always had been. It was something deeper than us. I felt it when I first saw her on that horse, crossing in front of my car. It had been there the whole time, like we were literal soulmates. And as I thought that word, it clicked in place for me. Everything flooded loose. We were. I just hadn't realized. I stopped moving and lifted my head. My eyes found hers, and she twisted her head to the side. "What's wrong?" she asked, touching my mouth. I caught her fingertip, kissing it before releasing it. "I have never felt like this with someone before." I lowered my lips to hers. It wasn't the first time I made love to her, but it was the first time I was in awe of it. Chapter 44. Brody. Gail was glaring at me. I was sitting across the dinner table from my manager and raised an eyebrow. "What's with the look?" Her eyes flicked to the ceiling and then she leaned close to me. She dropped her voice so no one else could hear, but she didn't need to worry. Finn was having a lively debate with Shanna about the stock market. The two were fanatics. Who would have guessed that? But I knew it served a purpose. No one wanted to talk about the elephant in the room, and at the moment, I didn't know if it was Morgan or if it was the reason my manager and director both flew out a week early. I went with the latter because Gail hissed at me. "You goddamn glow after sex, you know that?" I almost choked on a piece of steak. I started laughing. I didn't expect that from her. "What's the problem with that?" "Nothing." Her eyes cut to Morgan. She didn't say any more, but I knew her worries. "So," Shanna called a halt to the other conversation, clearing her throat. The air suddenly shifted, growing somber, tense. She looked from me to Morgan and then settled on Matthew. "We saw the press release." Matthew nodded, wiping a cloth napkin over his mouth. He folded it and then set it on his lap, resting his arms back on the table. "Yes, I'm sure you did." "Is it true? He aided in Karen Kellerman's murder, then?" The Kellermans all looked at Morgan, who didn't respond. Matthew glanced to Morgan as he answered. "Are you asking for the movie, or—" "I need to be prepared for how it might impact the movie." Matthew seemed at a loss. I understood where Shanna was coming from. I leaned forward. "The evidence is good, even if he gets off." I looked right at the director. "Put it in the movie." Morgan's hand found mine under the table. "I need to know what to put in. It could change the scope of the movie. Again, I have to know what it is." Matthew's attention shifted to me and I narrowed my eyes at him. "If you're waiting for me to heal, you're going to be waiting till you die, Kellerman." Matthew cleared his throat. His gaze went back to Shanna. "Put in the movie that he told Karen's murderer where she was. You can leave it at that." Her mouth fell open. She shared a shocked look with Gail. "Okay." She clamped her mouth shut. "Okay, I'll do that then. That's helpful, and I have everything planned and sorted. We'll have to do some new scenes from the beginning, but Brody," she turned to me, "I don't think those reshoots will take long. We have 2 months before you go to New Zealand, right?" I straightened in my seat. I hadn't shared that with Morgan yet. My eyes fell to her, but she was looking down at her lap and still holding my hand. She hadn't pulled that away, yet. "Yes, I'll be in New Zealand." "He goes to Iceland right after that one, too." Gail was adding that for Shanna's benefit in case she went into editing and found more reshoots were needed. Shanna nodded. "That's helpful, yes. We'll get it all worked out. I'll have my assistant catch up with you during one of those projects if I need to. Hopefully it'll just be about the promotion schedule." "That sounds fine." I looked at Gail. "It does?" "I've talked to the other franchise. They'll work with us on the promotion schedule for Unbroke if it conflicts with their shooting schedule. Everything will have to be planned far in advance, though." She sent the last sentence to Shanna as a warning. Everything took time. Everything had to be planned. My gaze fell to Morgan again. She didn't understand that world. Contracts, agreements, itineraries. Those were words she knew, but their concepts didn't have a place in her life. Her days were open. She could wake when she wanted, go for a walk in the woods, a ride on Shiloh. A knot rose in my chest and burrowed there. Gail was right. I was under contract for the next 2 years. There'd be another project after another, and that was what every successful actor wanted. Being busy meant more work would come, more money would come, but it was about riding the wave. My wave started with the movie Kyle died trying to get to. It started there, and it seemed it would keep going. She'll never go with you. She'll never leave those horses or those lands. Gail was watching me. I want you to forget her. Her words echoed in my head. Chapter 45. Brody. Everything moved quickly after that dinner. The movie was back in business. To keep from any leaks being released, ones that weren't from Shanna's people anyway, the cast and crew filled the estate again, and more trailers were brought onto the land. If I wasn't shooting, I was with Morgan. We were usually in bed or sitting on my patio. There were a few times I went with her into the wilderness because she missed Shiloh. On the days I was working long hours, I knew I could look up and find Morgan watching from astride the mare. When we weren't doing any of those, we spent the evenings with her siblings. Gail joined us a few times, and even Shanna once. I think both started to enjoy the bond that was evident between the siblings. Finn and Abby were the closest, but they doted on Morgan. Matthew's relationship was a little shaky among them all, but he seemed to be making an effort. There was no more shadiness or secrets from him, or so he claimed. He and I weren't chums, but he didn't protest my presence and I didn't beat him up. Progress. There was the usual buzz among the crew. People were like that. They talked, they gossiped. The only times they fell silent were when they were working. And one other time. I was running lines with Kara by the river, but the crew wasn't being quiet. The cameras were off at that moment. Shanna wanted to get a look at some of what we'd already shot in case she needed to redo it, so it was a normal day. People were laughing. Even Kara and I were joking with each other. Then a hush fell over everyone. I looked over and saw Morgan across the opposite bank. She was sitting on Shiloh, who was pawing at the ground. Oh, wow, Kara said under her breath, lowering her script. I looked from Morgan to everyone else before going to her side. Shanna's assistant was tapping her on the arm, and she pulled her attention away from the tablet she was reviewing film on. What? The assistant pointed at Morgan, and Shanna said, Oh. She looked at me, too, before standing. There were plenty of yards before she got to the river, and even more before she got down to where Kara and I were standing, but we were immediately across from Morgan. I was eyeing Shiloh. She wants to bolt. Morgan leaned forward a little. I saw how she tightened her legs around the mare, signaling for her to hold. She said, She'll wait for me. Morgan was watching Shanna coming toward us at a slow but steady pace. Can I be here? Should she be there was a better question. I wasn't given the chance to answer because Shanna arrived almost in a huff. She forced herself back, her body almost swaying from the abrupt change in motion. Her mouth was hanging open, but she tucked some of her frizzing hair behind her ear and crossed her arms over her chest. Morgan. Morgan nodded back. Can I be here? Shanna had been around Morgan on a few occasions, but Morgan was either sitting by me or on my lap. If she wasn't with me, she was with Finn or Abby. She was shielded from the burning questions everyone knew Shanna had for her. But this occasion was the second time she saw her on Shiloh, and I could tell Shanna's director's eye was going crazy. She wanted to shoot Shiloh, but she wanted to shoot Morgan on Shiloh even more. No extra or horse handler would have had the ease Morgan had on that horse, or the magic. She forced out a breath, and I heard her counting to three under her breath before she managed a bright smile. Of course, Morgan. She cleared her throat, her head inclining a little. And this is your horse? That famous Shoal? This is Shiloh. Shiloh backed up a few steps, throwing her head back at the mention of her name. Shanna was almost drooling. I saw how she tightened her grip on her arm. She was literally holding herself back. She blinked rapidly a few times. Shiloh, not Shoal. She's Shoal's daughter. Shoal's with the herd. Yes, the herd. Shanna was almost preening from excitement. Where's the herd? Not close, right? Her head suddenly popped high up from her neck. Morgan was hiding her own grin. They're on the other ridge. She nodded toward the next mountain. Everyone's safe?
Yes, yes.
Kara, who was watching the exchange with the rest of the crew, cracked a grin at Shanna's mannerisms. Shanna began patting her chest repeatedly. I didn't think she knew what she was doing.
Could I,
she shot me a look. I raised an eyebrow.
Could you?
She faltered again, but took a firm step forward. Her arms fell from her chest.
Could I ask you to run your horse up and down that bank for me?
Her voice was awestruck. She gestured to one of the cameras.
It would be amazing if we could get some footage of you, and especially on your horse. I'd love to capture this. In a way, this movie is just as much about you as your mother, and you're in your natural element.
The excitement and gushing faded, and her voice grew concise.
I don't think you realize the effect you have on that horse. It isn't something I could ever produce in a studio or with another actor.
Morgan cocked her head to the side. Her eyes found mine. I held up a hand. It's your call, not mine. She nodded.
You just want me to run up and down the bank?
Yes, yes. Shanna's eyes got big as she began backing away toward the camera. Just run back and forth. Do whatever you feel comfortable with. The more you run, the better. Morgan frowned, but Shanna was running back to the camera and missed it. She was barking orders and everyone was scrambling. Shiloh reared back from the sudden commotion, lifting straight up so she was standing only on her hind legs. Kara grabbed my hand and gripped it hard. The only one not alarmed was Morgan. Shanna snapped her fingers at the camera guy, and he swung the lens around. Whether Morgan knew it or not, she was already being recorded. She bent forward, running her hand over Shiloh's neck and crooning to her. She was soothing her. After a second rearing, Shiloh's feet landed on the ground and stayed, but she was pawing there. She wanted to run. That was obvious. Making a clicking sound, Morgan had Shiloh turn, and she let her do what she wanted. Morgan bent low, and Shiloh took off at a canter. Her mane and tail flew behind her, fanning out, and it really was magical to watch. I'd witnessed this firsthand and so much more, but I was as much awestruck as the rest. Morgan let Shiloh go as fast as she wanted before reining her in and having her gallop just as fast back to where we were. She kept doing it, and there was one time Morgan sat up, arching her back and letting her head fall back. Her hair looked like an extension of Shiloh's mane, flying free behind her as she let her arms fall out like she was flying.
Wow.
I heard Kara's soft word and glanced down. Her eyes were glued to Morgan, as were everyone else's. After Shiloh's need to run waned, the Mustang faltered to a stop, and Morgan had her just walk around. Shanna's assistant appeared at my side.
Shanna wants to know if she would stand on her horse.
I looked down at her. The assistant looked away for a moment, saying, "She knows she can. She saw it one time, but didn't catch it on camera." They wanted Morgan to be a show horse for them, where she would perform tricks and acts on command. I growled, "No." The assistant flinched and then ran back to Shanna. I didn't watch her relay my message. I was pissed, beyond pissed. Morgan wasn't a circus performer. I got that they wanted to capture some of her magic because that was truly what it was, magic. But she was precious and invaluable, and she wasn't there to be treated like an event at a goddamn festival. Morgan stopped after a while. She and Shiloh cantered back over to where we stood, and Kara seemed braver. She stepped forward, her toes dipping into the river. She wasn't scared of the Mustang like she had been moments before. Sensing my anger, Morgan narrowed her eyes at me in a questioning manner, her head tilted to the side, just a slight bit. But Shanna was at my side, and she was just as breathless as before.
That was amazing, Morgan, truly amazing.
She stopped, gulped, and looked at me. I knew what she wanted to ask. I shook my head. Don't do it. She did.
Could you stand on her for just a moment?
What?
You know, I saw you that night outside the estate. We were all in the living room and you were out there. I saw you standing on your horse. Could you do it again?
She was so excited, her hand jerking toward the cameras.
It would be really amazing for the movie.
Let it go, Shanna, I said. She already gave you more than enough. And she knew it. She turned and looked at me, her eyes telling me she did. but she wanted more. I saw her hunger. She wanted as much from Morgan as she could take. It would be like trying to get water from a rock. Eventually, she would throw the rock away in disgust. I moved in front of her, physically standing in her way. She's done enough. Kara stood next to me, shoulder to shoulder. I was surprised, but thankful. She said, "She's done enough, Shanna." We were both protecting Morgan, but it wasn't entirely about that. We'd both been used at one point. We were pushed to the extreme, having demands placed on us that we wanted to fulfill because we wanted to please others. We wanted to do as much as we could for our directors, agents, producers, and fans, but there was a price. There was always a price. And if we kept trying, we became hollow inside. In that moment, Kara was with me. We were protecting Morgan from becoming like us. We were doing this because we wished someone had done it for us. I said quietly, inclining my head, "You have enough, Shanna." There was a splash of hooves cutting through water, and then Morgan and Shiloh were on our bank, and she was approaching where we stood. Shiloh moved forward, and Shanna was backing away. She was looking from Morgan's face to Shiloh's hooves and then to me. She repeated the gesture, going around and around until I was convinced she would make herself dizzy. "What are you doing?" Morgan had no words for herself. She cracked a grin. "You're upsetting Brody. Shiloh's grown somewhat fond of him." Shanna looked perplexed. Kara started laughing. She poked me in the side. "Good thing the stallion doesn't see you as a threat. He must take pity on you." I looked up to Morgan. "You should maybe go. Shiloh's going to hurt someone." She was watching the rest of the crew. They were all watching us back, and the braver ones were starting to move closer. They wanted to pet the Mustang, but Shiloh wasn't an animal in a petting zoo. She was wild and dangerous, and the only one allowed to ride her was Morgan. Her entire body was alert and tense. Power rippled from the Mustang, and Morgan was immune to it. I looked up and gazed at her in a new light. She wasn't immune to it. She was included in it. As she sat on top of that horse, she was every bit as powerful as the Mustang. The bond was so clear and evident that I wouldn't have been surprised to see invisible strings attaching the two. But Morgan made a decision then. She slid off Shiloh, and as soon as Morgan's feet touched the ground, the Mustang sprang away. It was like they had rehearsed it or had a conversation ahead of time, but Shiloh didn't hesitate. She crashed through the river and then was gone into the trees. It took 3 seconds to happen. It was as she had never been there in the first place. But Morgan stayed. Chapter 46. Brody. For the rest of our shooting, Morgan was at my side. She waited on the sidelines while I was working and was there while I waited for my time. She even began to help Kara, running lines with her. There were moments when she noticed a discrepancy in the script and told Shanna. She became an asset for Shanna. When we would arrive on site, Shanna would pull Morgan aside and they would consult together. I knew Morgan's input was invaluable, and Shanna grew more and more excited as the shooting drew to a close. I couldn't say that people started to forget who Morgan was. They just grew more accustomed to her. We had 2 scenes left to do that week, and then we were done. Completely done. There was an excited buzz with everyone. People had already started packing up, but most people were sticking around for the wrap party. The Kellermans were planning it, and there were rumors of kegs, wine, face painting, a DJ. Tents were put on the lawn. They wanted to take advantage of the abnormal warm weather. Morgan insisted it wouldn't last. The new scene we were shooting wasn't a hard one. I was supposed to be on a walk with my sister, and she was supposed to be telling me how much of a mistake it was to marry Karen. The sister was walking with me. The cameras were moving ahead of us. I was just about to deliver the line about how she was wrong when someone screamed, ruining the scene. One of the assistants was helping the horse handlers, but the horse was rearing up. Her hooves were flailing, and the handler was thrown off. The actress by me screamed. Everyone froze for a second. Then suddenly, there was a streak running past everyone. Morgan weaved around those in her way. I started forward. The actress's hand clamped on my arm, stopping me. Look! The horse kept rearing up and down, and the rope had been released. The handler rolled to safety, stood, and started pulling the other horse away. Morgan darted around the last person. The horse saw her coming, swinging her head around, and even I could see the wild panic in her eye. A wheelbarrow had been abandoned in the path, but Morgan jumped, used it as a springboard, and launched herself onto the horse's back. It happened so quickly. The horse jumped around, trying unsuccessfully to buck Morgan off. She clambered forward, grabbing onto the reins and sliding into the saddle as her feet found the stirrups. She looked a little awkward in the saddle, but that was because I rarely saw her use one. The horse stopped trying to buck her off, only lifting her head in the air and flaring her nostrils. Her ears were twitching all around, then finally settled straight up and alert. When the horse stopped completely and lowered her head back down, Morgan kicked it into a soft trot. She looped around, going through the river and letting her run in some figure eights on the opposite bank. She was letting her run some of her tension out. "A snake!" someone shouted. The shout broke everyone from their reverie. People started scrambling for safety, but the person laughed, waving his hands. "No, no, it was a snake. Taffy killed it." "Who's Taffy?" the actress asked next to me. And that was when I recognized the horse. I gestured to her. The horse Morgan soothing. I moved forward, walking next to Shanna toward where the handler was standing. The guy had scooped it up and dumped it into the wheelbarrow. A few girls ran the opposite direction, but he just shook his head. "It's already dead." "Are you okay?" Shanna asked the handler who'd been bucked off. She nodded. "Yeah, just shook up still. The snake startled Taffy, and then when I fell off, it almost got me. Taffy killed it." She gestured toward where Morgan was still loping Taffy in circles. "She shook up too." Shanna didn't say anything, but she turned to watch Morgan, as the rest of us did. I glanced at her from the corner of my eye. Her gaze darted to one of the cameramen, and he nodded, already swinging the lens around to zoom in on Morgan. I stifled a growl. "Morgan!" I moved toward the river. She looked over, wheeling Taffy back around. "Everyone okay?" "Yeah." And because I knew it would grate on Shanna's nerves, I waved down the river. "Why don't you run her back to the barn and bring a different one for the last scene?" I heard Shanna let out a sigh of frustration. Morgan looked to the handlers. "Is that okay? Do you need her still?" The male handler shook his head. "Nah, run her back. Saves us time from loading her in the trailer." He gestured to the snake. "I gotta get rid of this anyway. You're saving me some work." Morgan nodded. She looked at the other female handler. "You're okay? She didn't get you?" "No, I'm good. She saved me, actually." "Okay." Morgan grinned at me. "See you in a bit." I heard the excitement in her voice. She loved Shiloh first, but she loved horses in general, and it wasn't long before she had Taffy turned toward the barn. The horse kicked up dirt, speeding away. "It's almost as if you don't want me to get the extra shots that'll make this movie a masterpiece." I turned to Shanna. She had remained while everyone else went back to working. "I am trying to keep you from using Morgan. There's no contract saying you can use the footage you take of her. If she gets hurt, are you going to compensate her? She isn't protected by a union or insurance." Shanna paused, studying me. "I don't understand you. She's going to be fine. She'll stay here. She'll live out there with her horse. She's never going to fully know her own fame, but if she has a kid, maybe they will. Maybe it'll be good for them. I don't get why you want to protect her so much unless..." A different thought moved in the back of her mind, coming forward until she actually stepped back. She gazed at me with new awareness. "You're hoping she'll go with you, aren't you?" "Goddamn." I turned away. "That's it, isn't it? You're hoping to get her to leave with you. Then it'll be a problem. Then it'll be too much for her, but Brody..." She was shaking her head in pity. It made me grit my teeth. I didn't need her sympathy. "You can't force her to leave, and you can't change her. You know that, don't you?" I didn't say a word. Her hand came to my arm, but I moved out of her reach. I didn't need to be soothed. "Brody, this is going to end badly if you don't accept her for who she is." I didn't need to hear that. I walked away and did the last two scenes until Shanna called a wrap, and then I went home to where I knew Morgan was waiting for me.